I'm Christopher Lydon. This is Open Source from the Watson Institute at Brown University. An American conversation with global attitude is what we do. This one is a taste of the Howard Dean version of healthcare. From the primary care doctor who became governor of Vermont and ran for president in 2004, from the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, he said, against the war in Iraq, and then he lost the presidential nomination to John Kerry. He's still out there on the forward left wing of his party, whipping up progressives with the line that President Obama's not clear or strong enough in his health care bill. Howard Dean says that a bill this year that doesn't have a Medicare sort of choice of a public alternative to private insurance will be a defeat for the president and for the people. So here was Howard Dean preaching to the choir on September 8th in Cambridge, Massachusetts, making the case that a lot of Democrats want to hear from the president. And yes, I get a question in at the end.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, of course, there's a bias in this book, and the bias comes from being married to a primary care physician, having been a primary care physician, and having been a governor. And the debate has unfortunately, in my view, shifted to the right. You know, the single payer is one position. The present system is another position. What we're advocating with the public option is the compromise. We're not going to compromise anymore because that is the compromise already. But the framing of this is important. The core of how we ought to frame the healthcare debate is letting Americans decide for their families and themselves what's best. Give them a real choice. Right now, we have a system where if you get sick, you may have been paying premiums for a long time, the insurance companies put fine print in their insurance policies so they can kick you off their policies anytime they like. If you're old, they can charge you two or three or four times as much as they do for young, healthy people. If you move from one state to another, you can lose your insurance. If you lose your job, you can lose your insurance. You may never get it back again. And in some places like North Dakota, one insurance company has 90% of the market. It seems to me, and the Republicans say, socialized medicine. We've had socialized medicine in this country for 45 years. It's called Medicare. Anybody here on Medicare? You are in socialized medicine. There are some other people in socialized medicine. Veterans, people who have served the United States of America honorably, they're in socialized medicine. You know who else is in medicine? Socialized medicine? The people who are complaining about it. The people, all those right-wingers in Congress that scream and shout about socialized medicine. When they get sick, they go down to a government-paid doctor. They don't have a bill. And if they get really sick, they go to a government-run hospital, Walter Reed Hospital. So how about letting the American people choose as an option what people over 65 and what the armed forces and what members of Congress have? That is what this bill is about. Our system is broken. Our incentives are broken. Our mindset is broken. I ought to get paid for keeping you all well instead of being paid every time you get really sick. It doesn't take a genius to figure out if your incentives are all guided towards what happens when you get really sick. It benefits the system when you get sicker. It does not make any sense. Now, we're not having a lot of debate about that in Congress, which is too bad. But there's a lesson that we've learned over the years. We've tried to fix this system a bunch of times. And we always get down to compromises because we can't afford this and we can't afford that and so forth and so on. And then we try to fix it without including everybody. I don't think you can fix this system without including everybody. Unless everybody is in, you can't start making the changes that are going to be necessary, such as ending fee-for-service-based medicine.
I appreciate your wanting to focus on policy rather than politics, but I have a political-oriented question. When are the Democrats going to grow a pair? I mean... They're the majority, and they are not acting like the majority. And for a cause that is this crucial to our society, what is up with them?
Well, let me
say, I'm a Democrat. I've been a Democrat for over 30 years, right. And it is so perplexing to me.
Well, let me first defend the Democrats in the sense, well, they don't, they, you know, first of all, some of them congenitally don't have a pair, although they have the biggest pair, oh. like Barbara Boxer okay. and people like that.
Right, right.
You know, they're
grass
so,
ovaries.
Yeah, we know what okay. you mean. I mean, I like to say from 2004 to 2008, I provided a spinal transplant to a lot of Democrats. In some, it didn't succeed. So in some, the transplant was rejected. But it's the minority. The majority of Democrats in both the House and the Senate, the big, vast majority in favor of a public option. And actually, I think we're going to end up with a public option. I'll tell you why. The Republicans don't want to play. And the next few weeks is going to be incredibly depressing for us because the Finance Committee is going to pass a bill. And let me just say, I'm grateful to Senator Baucus for getting a bill out because we need one out. It is a piece of junk. It is going to make things worse rather than better should it pass in its present form. And not because I just want a bill. Let's move along. Let's get this damn thing into the conference committee and into reconciliation. But if the Republicans don't play, then they don't have a vote. So why are we appeasing them with things that aren't going to get any more votes over here? And I think they're eventually going to get that. It takes a long time. Remember, I said Washington is always the last place to figure this stuff out. And they will do it. And when they go into the Democratic caucus in the Senate, at least 42 members of the caucus, which is a vast majority, want a public option. I think a public option is going to come out of that. The vast majority of Democrats in the House, which are the majority party, want a public option. I think Nancy Pelosi is a very good speaker, and I have no doubt about her spinal transplant. She didn't need one in the first place. I think she's terrific. And so I think we're going to have a public option. Now, whether it's exactly the public option that I'll be blunt with you. I'll tell you right now what I think we ought to do. I think the public option ought to be buying into Medicare for political reasons. First of all, I think this stuff that we're going to do this in 2013 is politically insane. What are these people thinking? These are supposed to be the smartest politicians in America. You think you're going to go through the town meetings that we went through and have all this stuff said about the system? What people believe? You've seen the polling. 45% of Americans believe there really are death panels. I mean, that's not just a Fig Newton of Sarah Palin's imagination. It's unbelievable. I mean, look, when we did civil unions 10 years ago, we got the same stuff. Your kids were all going to be gay because the teachers were going to teach them how to be gay in school and all this other. I swear I'm not, if anybody here from Vermont, you remember this stuff. People believed this, right? You know how it got fixed? 2 years later, it was not an issue. It was a big issue in my last reelection, but it wasn't an issue. Why? Because we did it. It happened. And all of a sudden, people noticed that their kids weren't gay yet. And they figured maybe those things really weren't true, right? Well, I think that you got to do this now. And there's only one way to do this now. You cannot invent a new bureaucratic mechanism to ensure Americans starting from scratch when the president signs the bill in December. The only thing you can do is allow some number of people to sign up for Medicare that are under 65 years old. If you do that, and you already have the administration in place, they process 1 billion claims a year, and it works reasonably well. Are there some debt problems? Is there an over? Yes, there are lots of problems. They can all be fixed. Although doing some unpleasant things that are going to be politically unpopular, which are going to happen sooner or later. It has nothing to do with the debate at hand. But if you used Medicare and allowed people, not everybody under 65, but the people who needed it the most, say laid off people who are over 50 or are going to have a hard time getting a job, at least those people worked all their lives, they ought to be able to get an insurance system that follows them everywhere, isn't ridiculously expensive, and doesn't go away if you have some misfortune. That's Medicare. We already have it. Why reinvent the wheel? And then you can get people insured by July of 2010 and say to the American people, see, there are no death penalties. We just did something for Americans over 50 who lost their jobs. And guess what? Those are, of course, the people who are most likely to go and scream and yell at these town meetings as they listen to Rush Limbaugh. I don't care. They're Americans, and we ought to do something for them, and we ought to do it before the next election to prove that all this stuff is hogwash that these right-wing whack jobs are telling everybody on the talk shows.
Hi. I wanted to come back a little bit to the political question, and that is, in particular, if the president should back away from the public option, then how is it that you think that the rank and file ought to respond? I mean, do you see any particular way to get to the president, to get him to stand behind the public option?
Look, I think the president would like a public option. I think his problem is that he's being told by people in the White House, you have to have a bill and you can call any bill you want victory. Well, that's our job to make sure you can't. And every day I tell people a bill without a public option is not victory, it's defeat.
Okay. Thank you.
Why aren't you the Secretary of Health and Human Services?
Well, you know, thank you. I used to wonder about that and worry about that, but I must say, I couldn't say any of the kinds of things I said tonight if I were. So thanks very much.
I'm wondering, Dr. Dean, if you had been elected president and Barack Obama was still in the Senate, would you have bent to the lobbies, so to speak, and would he be out hammering you with the public option? In other words, is there something in where people sit, something about institutional pressures that we don't quite see?
Look, I think everybody has their own style for how to get things done. And my belief is what the American people care more about than a particular issue is the strength of your leadership. They want to know there's a strong person in charge with fixed views. And it matters, it doesn't matter as much what the views are as long as they're within the mainstream someplace of American politics. But it does matter how strongly you believe in them. People care a lot about values, and they want to know that they have a strong president. And that's what's important in leadership. So my whole leadership style is different than most people's. Unfortunately, that means that sometimes you don't get where you're going, because if you are too strong, people say, gosh, you know, the opponents have things to say about you. But I really do believe that Americans want a strong president.
Do they not have one?
I think they do. But, you know, we're going to find out in December when he signs the bill.
Paul McCarthy edited this excerpt from Howard Dean's healthcare campaign talk at the First Church in Harvard Square the night after Labor Day 2009. Post up your own healthcare prescription on our site at radioopensource.org. I'm Christopher Lydon, and thanks for joining in.